Luke chapter 11, verses 2 to 4. This is the reading of God's word. And he said to them, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation. Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this precious time of hearing your word. Grant us an ear to hear your word so that we may truly hear, so our faith will grow, and that we will be more like your Son, Jesus Christ, every single day. Through your word, let us have fellowship with our Lord Jesus Christ. And through your word, let us see what our Lord Jesus Christ has done and what he has accomplished for us. That will bring joy to our hearts, and we will give you all the glory and thanksgiving. Bless all of us. Bless me as I preach your word, that your word will be preached correctly, and all of us not only hear your word, but they will believe and they will obey your word. Let us live the life that will bring glory and honor to you. We thank you and we love you. Pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, we begin verse by verse looking at the Lord's Prayer. Verse 2a says, and he said to them, when you pray, say, Father. This is how we should begin our prayers. Our Lord Jesus Christ is accomplishing the kingdom of God. Even as we are looking at the Lord's Prayer, we need to remind ourselves what Lord, our God, is doing when he wrote this book through Luke. He wants us to see how our Lord is accomplishing his kingdom. And through his teaching and his works, Jesus is witnessing the reality of heaven and the reality of the citizens of heaven. So here we see that citizens of heaven are God's people who pray. Even through the content of the Lord's Prayer, the reality of the citizens of heaven is witnessed. It witnesses what kind of salvation is accomplished by our Lord Jesus Christ. Starting today, we will look at the Lord's Prayer, verse by verse, like I said before. The prayers of Christians. We pray in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to our Heavenly Father with the work of the Holy Spirit in us. So you could see the Trinity, whole Trinity is involved when we pray. Christian prayers. According to what our Lord teaches us, we begin by calling our God Father. Now clearly it shows what kind of salvation is our salvation. And even as we begin to pray to God, we need to understand what kind of heavenly blessing did we receive. Through the salvation that our Lord Jesus Christ has accomplished, what is our relationship with our God? Maybe we are too familiar with this truth, that there is no excitement, and that is the problem. As we begin our prayers, as we call God our Father, we must understand how blessed we are. Thus, as we call our God our Father, we are not able to say much after that once you realize how blessed you are. Who are we calling our Father? How did God and us became the Father and sons? What blessing is this? The fact that God created us in His image means that He has created us as His sons. And this is what Genesis 5 teaches us. Genesis 5 verse 1 and 3. This is the book of the generation of Adam. In the day when God created man, He made him in the likeness of God. But verse 3 says, when Adam had lived 130 years, he became the father of a son in his own likeness, according to his image, and named him Seth. When your son is born, everybody will say, whoa, he looks like you. He's in your image. God says Adam became the father of a son in his own likeness according to his image. God also says God made man in the likeness of God. Obviously, this is not physical likeness, but it means the same thing. According to Genesis 5:3, it means that God has created the man as his son. And in Luke chapter 3, verse 38, in the genealogy of our Lord Jesus Christ, the last line says, the son of Enosh, the son of Seth, the son of Adam, the son of God. It clearly says that Adam is the son of God. So this is first thing we need to remember. When God created us in His image, He made us, He created us as His sons. But because of sin, all have become the sons of Satan. You know, I keep telling you this, that so many people out there that they imagine a situation which never exists. That they think that they're in the neutral ground. They don't belong to God, but they will never say, oh, because I don't belong to God, now I belong to Satan. No, they think that they're in the neutral ground. But God does not allow that kind of situation. If you are not son of God, then you're right away sons of Satan. Only two choices. This is why when you think of the world, you have to realize they are not neutral. When it comes to politics, and I don't want to get into all that, but so many people think that world is neutral. No. Only two choices. Anyway, in John chapter 8, verse 44, Jesus speaks to non-believers, says, you are of your father, the devil, and you want to do the desires of your father. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2 and 3, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Among them, we too all formerly lived in the lust of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. So all sinners, the sons of Satan, they are the sons of disobedience, and they are the children of wrath. And we could describe the salvation of God in many ways, but one way is this, that God has adopted us, who are the sons of Satan, the children of wrath, as His sons. So God has adopted us as His sons in the true Son, Jesus Christ. Now this reality was witnessed in the Old Testament in a typological way through God electing the Israelites. So Exodus chapter 4 verse 33 22, he says to Moses, "Then you shall say to Pharaoh, thus says the Lord, Israel is my son, my firstborn." So we already said this. When you are created in the image of God, you are created as God's sons. Salvation is a new creation. So when you are saved, you are recreated in the image of our Lord Jesus Christ. You are becoming sons of God. That's what it means to be saved. So in the Old Testament, God typologically saves his typological son. But because the Israelites were not true, God's true sons, they sin against God. Malachi chapter 1 verse 6a, "The son honors his father, a servant his master. Then if I am a father, where is my honor? And if I am a master, where is my respect, says the Lord of hosts to you." So from the Old Testament, when you finish the Old Testament, you realize, well, the true son has to come. The true son must come, and he must accomplish the true sonship. And that son is Jesus Christ. He came. The true Son of God came, and that true Son of God, he obeyed his Father perfectly. He obeyed the will of Father perfectly. He was obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. He perfectly accomplishes the true sonship, eternal sonship. And he did all that for us and in our places. Luke chapter 22, verse 42, "Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours will be done." And in Jesus Christ, you and I, we are participating in his sonship. Yes, he is the true Son of God, but we are now in him also sons of God. As you know, Jesus was declared as the true Son of God through his resurrection. This is what Romans chapter 1 verse 4 says. "He who declared the Son of God with power by the resurrection from the dead, according to the Spirit of holiness, Jesus Christ our Lord." So Jesus was declared as the Son of God by his resurrection. And I'm telling you, that same thing happened with us. It is the same with us. We are declared as the sons of God through our resurrection in Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter 6, chapter 2, verse 6, God says, "Raise us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus." We are also resurrected, raised up from dead. And when through our resurrection, we have also declared as sons of God. You and I are the sons of God. And God is our eternal Father. I don't know, if you have some time, just sit alone and think about this. What does this mean, that God is my Father and I am his Son? And how blessed I am. Romans chapter 8 verse 14, "For all who are being led by the Holy Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For you have not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but you have received a spirit of adoption as sons by which we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, heirs also, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ. And if indeed we suffer with him, so that we may also be glorified with him." Galatians chapter 4, verse 4 through 7. But when the fullness of time came, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, so that He might redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. It's very clear. So whenever we pray, we meet our God as our Father. Again, He is our Father and we are His sons. And whenever we pray, we come before God just as a son coming to his father's bosom. Always knowing that Father will welcome his son. As we all call our God our Father, we are participating in the heavenly relationship between the Father God and the Father Son. I mean, God the Son. See, in Trinity, there's fellowship going on. Fellowship with Father and Son, and Father and the Holy Spirit, and Holy Spirit with Son. And even as we call the same Father our Father, we're participating in that fellowship with the Father and the Son. And the Bible is very clear that He loves us as much as He loves His own Son, Jesus Christ. You know, you might say, that sounds heretical. It does. But that's what the Bible says. Can you just picture that? He loves you as much as He loves His own Son, Jesus Christ. Because you are His sons. We call our God our Father. The same God that our Lord Jesus Christ calls His Father. This means that Jesus and us are brothers. So even as you begin your prayer, realize that God is your Father and you are His Son, but at the same time, you realize that you are brother to our Lord Jesus Christ. We call the same God our Father. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 11, for both He who sanctifies, that's Jesus, God, and those who are sanctified, that's us, are all from one Father, for which reason He, Jesus, is not ashamed to call them brethren. I know some brother, you girls are here among us, you are ashamed of your brother. You don't want to, when you meet your friend, you don't want to say, oh, that's my brother. You know, when you're young, you could be like that. Jesus knows how sinful we are, how filthy thoughts are always occupying our mind. And yet He says, Jesus is not ashamed to call you His brother. John chapter 20, verse 17b, Jesus says, but go to my brethren and say to them, I ascend to my Father and your Father and my God and your God. Let this sink in. When Jesus says, my Father, that same God I call my Father. This is my salvation reality. So you understand, when it comes to prayer, only true sons of God can truly pray to the Father. No one else can really pray. They might act like they're praying, but that's not really praying. Only true sons, we are able to pray to our Father. And we pray to our Father. We communicate with God. Oh boy. You know, in this world, who is famous in this world? I can't even think one right now. I don't know. President, okay. And if you have talked to president last night, you will come here and boast about it. You know what I have, you know who I have talked with last night? None other than the president of this country. And you will say that with pride. And I could say to you with pride, you know, I talk to my God. I talk to God every single day. But people are not proud of that. Some people are actually embarrassed about it. They say, I have talked with the president. Why? They want to say how important they are. You know how important I am? That I talk with God every single day. We gotta realize how blessed we are. This is the problem. We just don't know. That's why your life is filled with complaints. Because you don't know how blessed you are. So I communicate with God. I have conversations with God. I have fellowship with God. I meet Him every single day. It is not that our God is like our Father. No, He is the true Father to us. And our earthly fathers are representing the true Father, Father God, to their sons. So definition of the Father is not, you will not find that in earthly fathers. You want to know what Father is, you look at God. He's the true Father to us. Yeah, fathers failed. And this is very, very sad. You male sitting in the pews. You're going to be father or you are already one. And you know, in some communities, you go and say, you know, God is like your father, they will run. Because they hate their fathers. Even though the fathers, their job was to represent God to their sons, they completely failed. You know, I talk with high school kids. They all tell me they want to go to university that is on the East Coast. And I tell them, why do you want to go so far? I want you to stay here. They tell me that they want to run away as far as possible from their fathers. This is so bad. So don't think, when God is our Father, don't think about your earthly father. That's a bad example. I'm saying that same thing to my own kids. God is our Father. That's the true picture of Father. And Father is good. He's actually absolutely perfect. See, earthly fathers are not the standard, but our God the Father is the standard of what or who the Father is. Now, unlike Luke, Matthew's version of the Lord's Prayer begins with, "Our Father who is in heaven." It does not say, "My Father." It says, "Our Father." Somehow, Christianity has evolved into something that is not biblical in this country. Christianity is not about individualism. It's not my God, me, my God. It's our God. Thus, even though Luke doesn't start like that, when you read the whole Luke's version of the Lord's Prayer, later in the prayer, you will see the words like us, our, we. Thus, when we pray, we must be aware of those who are included in these words, we, us, and our. It's not just you. Is that how you pray? That is all about you. And even when you're praying for someone else, it's about your kids or your mother, your father. But we begin our prayer calling God our Father. This is how we begin. Meaning that you're praying with all those people who are included in that word, our. You have to be mindful of it. This individualism is not Christianity. That's something America has invented. But I'm not saying that's bad or good. I'm just saying that's not biblical. Now, I could say whether it's good or bad, but I'm not going to say. We must be one heart with all those who are included in those words, we, us, our. Thus, you cannot truly pray the Lord's Prayer without loving all those who are included in the words, we, us, our. I mean, how can you truly pray this prayer when you start out by saying, our Father, and yet you don't care about all those people? Your brothers and sisters. How can you do that? Then don't say our Father, just say my Father, but that's not biblical prayer. Because once you say our Father, oh, then be aware of brothers and sisters. Even as you pray. And Matthew, it says, our Father who is in heaven. Luke chapter 11, verse 13b says, your heavenly Father. So our Father is the heavenly Father, the Father who is in heaven. We all know that God is omnipresent, meaning He is everywhere. Then why Jesus Christ draws our attention to the Father who is in heaven? Because just like worship, when we pray, we meet our God, our Father, we meet Him in heaven. Just like our worship, we are actually meeting our Father, our God, in heaven. We're not worshiping God here on earth. It's not earthly worship. We're actually participating in heavenly worship. And this act of praying is a heavenly activity. So you are reminded as you call our God, our Father who is in heaven. And to us, God is not our judge who will judge us and condemn us when we meet Him. Of course, as our Father, He does discipline us, but that is not His judgment. That is actually an act of His love. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 5 and 6, and you have forgotten the exhortation which is addressed to you as sons. My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor faint when you are reproved by him. For those whom the Lord loves, he disciplines, and he scourges every son whom he receives. In Jesus Christ, we are able to come to our God with boldness. Yes, we are the sinners who truly deserve the eternal punishment of hell, but in Jesus, we are able to come to God without fear. Because Jesus received all the judgment of hell that we truly deserve. And our Lord Jesus Christ, he always called God the Father his Father. But when we see him on the cross, dying for our sins. When he was dying on the cross, bearing our sins, Jesus did not call God his Father. He said, my God, why have you forsaken me? This is very, very significant. Unless your problem of sin is taken care of, you cannot call God your Father. He's not your Father. He's Father to no sinners unless that sin is cleansed and is forgiven. Jesus, only on the cross, because he was bearing our sins, he could not call God his Father. But we do call him our Father. So when you start praying, and when you call your God Father, realize how blessed you are. Realize what kind of heavenly reality is already given to you. Not everybody, not everyone can call God his Father. Jesus, for us, went that far. Through what our Lord has done for us, we are now able to call God the Father, our Father, and come to him with boldness, even the only thing that we truly deserve is the eternal wrath. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. Therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19. Therefore, brethren, since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he inaugurated for us through the veil that is his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with sincere heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Now we have confidence to enter the holy place to pray to our God as we meet our God. You know, in the Old Testament, Holy of Holies, only once a year, right? You heard it this so many times. Once a year, high priest, he would go in there to meet God. And he will always have to carry the blood, symbolizing, you know, in order for him to come to God, he has to die. But someone else is dying for him. One wrong move, he will drop dead. That's why they put rope around his waist. Rope. And he will wear, you know, the bells. It will make noise. So as the high priest goes in and does whatever he has to do, you could hear those bells. But if one wrong move, he will die. and you don't hear bells, then you have to pull the rope to bring him out, because you dare not go in there yourself to bring him out, because you will be dead. This is how hard, how difficult, how impossible for a sinner to come to God and have a conversation with God. But look at what happened to you. You could always call. Whenever, wherever you pray, that is the Holy of Holies. And God is ready to have converse with you, to have communion with you. Oh, the Old Testament high priest, man, if he understood what's going on with us, he would give up his life just to have 1 second of what we enjoy. And yet, you don't seek him in prayer. This is so puzzling. Why Christians don't like to pray. Pray to God. To have that fellowship with God. Brothers and sisters, I don't enjoy, you know, scolding you and rebuking you. The Bible tells me, let me read that to you. 2 Timothy Let me read that to you. 2 Timothy, sorry. 3:16. All scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, but it doesn't stop there. For teaching and for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. There are some pastors, whenever they preach, it just sounds so nice. There's no rebuking, no correcting. And it's just pleasant to their people's ears. And it's just, oh. But all scripture is not just for teaching, but it's also for rebuking and correcting. And that's what I do during preaching. And it's not just correcting you and rebuking you, it's rebuking me and correcting me. But I want you to realize how blessed you are that you are able to come to God whenever, wherever, and you could start praying. The Old Testament people would, like I say, they would die just to experience 5 minutes of what you enjoy. And then how do we treat this privilege, this blessing that God has given to us? Let us seek our God. You know, He really wants to have fellowship with you. And I say this many times, but just to remind you, let me say one more time and I will end. Your wife or your husband or your girlfriend or your a boyfriend. You would not like your husband or your wife or your boyfriend or your girlfriend if they ignore you as much as you ignore your God. I guarantee it, you're not going to like your boyfriend or your girlfriend or your wife or your husband ignoring you as much as you ignore your God. 24 hours a day, how many hours or even minutes do you spend in communion with God? Or you just ignore Him all day long? Let us pray. Let us pray to our God to have that fellowship with our God. You know, 1 Peter 5, 7 says, casting all your anxiety on Him because He cares for you. We must pray to God. We must pray fervently. We must pray always. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You. Oh Father, even as we begin our prayers, even as we call You our Father, we realize how blessed we are. As our Father, as our loving Father, You have given us Your very best, Your Son, Jesus Christ. It clearly shows how much You love us. So, Father, let all of us willing to give ourselves to You to show how much we love You. So that this love between You and us will be two-way love, not just one way. Oh, Father, let us love You back because You are our Father. And we are Your sons. We thank You. Pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us stand.